The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Jacobowitz, Mechaber Sefer Gvul Rishonim on Erevin, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Ksuvus Daf Chav. The Gemara on Chav of the Beis says as follows. Tanan Hossam, we learned in the Mishnah over there in Mesechus Olus, Hatluliyas, if you have piles of dirt on the side of the road, Hakrevis, if they're close, Ben Le'ir, whether to the city, Ben Le'derach, or whether to the road, whether they're new, or whether they're old, Tumas. We have to assume, or we have to be concerned, that maybe there's Tumas Mes in the pile of dirt, in the mound of dirt. Harachoykos, the ones that are far away, Chadoshes Tahiris, if they are new, then we can assume that they are tar, that there was never a mace buried in them. Yishanus, if they're old, Tumas. Then we have to be afraid that there's Tumas them, and they're Tame. Then there's Machlokes or Meir and Yehuda, what's considered close, what's considered far, what's considered new, what's considered old, how close is considered close, Ezu Kreva, what's considered close to the path, Chamisha Mabot and 50 Amas, Ezu Yishana, what's considered old, that we always have to be afraid of Tumah even when it's far, Shishim Shana, 60 years, Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kreva, if it's close, she ain't Kreva Emenu. As long as it's the closest pile of dirt there is to the path, or there is to the city, then we have to always be afraid that there's Tumah in it. Yishana, what's considered old, she'ain adam zaycha. No one remembers. No one remembers when this pile of dirt first came to be there. And the Gemara tries to figure out my ear, my derech. What type of a pathway are we talking about that we're concerned that there is tumah near it? What type of a city are we talking about? And the maskana of the Gemara, Reb Zera says, we're talking about iras smuch lebeis kvaris, a city that's close to a basic kvaris, to a cemetery, and a derech basic kvaris, the pathway to the cemetery. So the Gemara says that we can understand why the pathway to the cemetery, to the basic forest, that we have to be afraid that maybe there's tumah found in any pile of dirt along the path, that maybe it was close to Shabbos, it was Erev Shabbos, close to Ben HaShemashas, and they didn't have time to make a proper kfura on the mace, so they fast buried the mace in this mound of dirt, and they piled up dirt on top, and that's why there's a mound of dirt. But why are we worried about the city near the basic forest? Rabbi Chanina says, V'tarech shanoshim karvisham neflein. Sometimes a lady has a miscarriage or a stillborn, a nephel, and they'll bury the nephel in this pile of dirt. Sometimes there's people who are not well, and they lose their limbs have to be amputated, or they fall off, the way it sounds like from Rashi, and they need a place to bury these limbs, these zrois, their arms, or their fingers, or toes. After 50 amas, then we think that Isha will go by herself and bury. Further than that, we're not worried about. So we see in this Gemara that one of the main concerns we have of Tumas Meis is for a nephel, that may be a nephel, a stillborn, or a miscarriage, a fetal demise, might be buried in some place, in an unexpected place, not in the regular place in the Mystic Forest, and also for Evarim, an amputated limb, because a nephel, both a nephel and an Evar and an amputated limb both create Tumas Meis. Now where is this a concern for us in Lach L'maisa? This is a concern for us in Lach L'maisa by Kahanim. For Yisraelim, this is not a concern nowadays because we don't keep the dinim of Tumah and Tyra. We're not Nizah, we're not careful about Tyras. We don't have Truma and Kachim. And even with Chulin, they used to be more careful with Tumah and Tyra. This does not apply to us nowadays. This does apply to Lachlan Mais in regards to Kahanim. Kahanim do still have the Issa, they're not allowed to become Tame for a Tame Meis. And therefore, they have to be careful not to go into a place that would have Tumas Meis, whether a cemetery or any place near a cemetery that might have a Tumah from the cemetery. Where does this come into a practical ramification in our times? All the kind of note to stay away from a basic forest, not to go in the basic forest, not to go near a basic forest where the tumah might still be. So where does this have a practical ramification? This has a practical ramification in regards to hospitals. Very often, unfortunately, in a hospital, a person is nifter, a person passes away in the hospital. Sometimes it can be a yid, sometimes it can be a guy. And then there's a chashash, there's a concern of tumah. Now the halacha is that the room in which the mace is has tumas oil. Tumas oil is a tumah that's certainly not terah, comes from the terah. A mace matame, he spreads tumah in different ways. One way is magup, if someone touches him. One way is masa, if someone lifts up the mace, even without touching, do something else. One way is oil, that if somebody is in the same oil, a person or a keli, an item is in the same oil as the mace, same tent literally as the mace, he gets the tumah from the mace. Now, regards to tumas oil in the hospitals, this generally is not such a concern, because as long as there is a closed door, the tumah does not pass through the door. So if the mace is in the morgue, so as long as one is not in the morgue, so they do not have, they did not get tumas oil from the mace, the oil does not spread through the closed door. If the mace is someone who's just nifter, in one of the hospital rooms or in the ICU, once there's a closed door, then somebody who's not in that room or is not in the ICU, they do not get the tumah from the mace. What is a concern is that there's another halacha of soif tumah lases. there's halacha that the path in which the maze is going to take to get out of the building in which he is in, the tumah precedes the tumah, so to speak, goes ahead of the maze, and there's a tumah in that entire pathway. So for example, if there's a maze in a hospital room, it was not yet brought down to the morgue, so the entire hallway of that floor, getting to the elevator that's going to be used to bring the maze down, as well as the entire elevator, if you know which elevator it is, and the entire hallway on the floor, which the morgue is, those entire floors, they all have the Sof Tumalotzes. They all have the tumah which precedes the maze. Since the maze is going to go here, there's already a tumah spreading through these entire hallways that are in the pathway of the maze. The same applies when there's a maze in the morgue. So some hospitals are set up as such that there's a back door out from the morgue that goes out of the building. And therefore, once the maze is in the morgue, the maze is never going to be brought back through the regular main hallway again. However, other hospitals do not have this feature, and when the maze is removed from the morgue, the maze has to go back into the regular hallway to remove through one of the doors. It's usually a side door, obviously, not the main entrance which people walk through, but the hallway is the main hallway that's used. And although it may be very far away from the main lobby, possibly hundreds of feet away, but if the doors are all open in between, if it's the one big open hallway, then the tumah spreads through the entire hallway. Since the maze is in the morgue, and the maze is going to have to go back out into this hallway, so there's a soif tumah lotzeis, there's a tumah that we predict that the tumah maze is going to go out here, and therefore there's a tumah that precedes it in this hallway, and this tumah is now found in the entire hallway of that level. So if the morgue is in the basement, the entire basement level would have the tumah from the safe tumah lotzeis, the tumah from the fact that the maze is going to come back out here, unless there are closed doors. Sometimes the morgue is on the ground level, and then the entire ground level will have a tumah, unless there are closed doors separating the lobby and the main part of the ground level from the part of that level that has the morgue in it. And this is a concern for Kahanim. Now, we have to know there's a difference between if there's a Yiddish maze or if there's a Goyish maze. There's a Machlekes Tanon, Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon, if a maze that's a Goy is Metamid Ba'oil. Almost all the Rishonim, Paskim, Halacha, that a maze is that even if it's a guy, he's a tamid b'maga b'masa, if one touches it or lifts it. But tumas oil, this is a big machlokes rishonim halapaskin, in regards to the machlokes tanon. Rabbi Shimon says there's no tumas oil by kirei akum, by goyim, because atom kriyim adam, v'ein oviv chabim kriyim adam. Since the pasuk says adam, when an adam, literally a person, but the pasuk says an adam when he's yomus b'oil, when he dies in a tent, so then there's tumas oil. And Goyim are not considered Adam, did not have that description as Adam. So the Tanur Shimon is of the opinion, Shimon Bar Yochai, that Goyim do not have Tumas oil. The Rabbanan argue, there's a Machlokes Yishen Mahalapaskin, and this Machlokes carries us to the Shulchan Aruch. This is in Yerdeus, the Meshinayim days, Sith days, as the Machaber in Shulchan Aruch says, Kirvi Oiv Dichovim, the graves of Goyim, Nochon Lizor, HaKoyim Lelech Leim. It's proper that Kohen should be careful from going on top of them. That means the Machaber does not say it's Osir, he just says it's proper for Kohen to beware and not to go on top of Kirvi Oiv Dichovim, graves of Goyim. And the Ramah says, Alf Bishesh Bakil, even the Arsam Rishonim, the Rambam is Mekel, and the Rambam passes like Reb Shimon, there's no Tumas oil by a Goy. Still, the Ramah says, V'nochon L'Hachmer, it's better to be Machmer. So both the Machaber and the Ramah don't say it's Osir for the Kohen to go in the oil of a Goyish mace. They both say, Nochon Lizar, it's proper to be careful, Nochon L'Hachmer, it's better to be Machmer. And so, we can say that Me'ikar Adin, this is how Ramosha says in the Tshuva, that Me'ikar Adin we paskin, the real halacha is that the kever of a goy is not metame tumas oil, and therefore would not have this tumah of sof tumah lotzeis, if the actual oil in which the mace is. In other words, if the mace, the goyish mace in the morgue, the entire morgue does not have the tumah, so certainly the pathway that the mace is going to take out of the morgue to get out of the hospital is not going to have the tumah either. That's the Me'ikar Adin. However, it's proper, the Mechaber and the Ramah already say that it's proper that Kohen should be machmer from Kibli Avdi Chavim. In regards to if there's a Yiddish mace in the hospital, so then it's Me'ikar Adin. Then there's a real halacha that a Kohen cannot go, not into the room, certainly not into the room in which the mace is found, but also not to any of the hallways which are part of the pathway that the mace will take to get out of the hospital, which generally means the hallway on the floor in which the mace is. If there's a mace on one of the higher floors, if someone is nifter, one of the higher floors, and this also generally applies to the hallway on the floor in which the morgue is. If there's a mace upstairs, it's certainly, so the mace has to be carried out into this hallway to get to the morgue. In regards to once the mace is already in the morgue, and there are no mace elsewhere in the hospital, only all the mace are in the morgue, so then whether there's still a safe tumah lot, there's still a tumah on this hallway, will depend on which route the maisim are taking to get out of the morgue. As we said, some hospitals have a feature that there's a back door straight out of the morgue, and the maisim will never be returned to the main hallway, in which case now the hallway is fine. There's no tumma anymore in this hallway, since the maisim is already out of this hallway and it's not going to be coming back here. However, the hospitals that do not have this feature, and the maisim will have to be removed from the morgue back into this hallway, even if only for a few seconds, until it's removed through a side door, now the entire hallway has a tumma the entire time the mace is in the morgue, because we know that the mace is eventually going to make it back into this hallway. Now this tumma that we're discussing, the tumma of soif tumma lattes, that is the tumma, not the tumma which is in the actual room in which the mace is. We're assuming the room in which the mace is has a closed door, and therefore the actual tumma's oil is contained in that room. We're discussing the tumma of soif tumma lattes, the fact that the mace is going to follow a certain route out of the hospital or out of the building, and therefore there's a tumma that precedes, that goes ahead of the mace there. There's a big shaila what the makar for this din is of soif tumma lattes. The shaila basically is it the rice dig halacha? Does it come from the Torah? Or is it midrabbanan? The Chazal, they extend the tumas oil and said that not only does it apply to the room in which the mace is, but even applies to the entire route that the mace is going to take to get out of the hospital. It's a shaila in achrenim if it's the rice or drabbanan. The shach in yerdeis mishinai and base of cotton base is quite clear that's drabbanan. He talks about the when the house, the mace inside of the sosim mikotzad, it's closed from all sides, means all the doors and windows are closed. An open window is the equivalent of an open door, assuming that the opening is the opening the size of a tefach, of 3 or 4 inches. But assuming that the house, that the mace inside of it is closed from all sides, there's no open doors, no open windows. So then, nami lekev batam asmuchim tumma elamid rabbanim. So now the adjacent houses, presumably he's referring to the house that the mace is going to have to go through, because otherwise there will be no tumma in the adjacent houses unless the mace has to go through. But the adjacent houses that he's talking about, that the mace is going to have to go through, only have tumma elamid rabbanim, only midrabbanim, mishum nesefa tumma latzeis. Because eventually the tumma is going to have to go out from here. Since eventually the tumma will have to go out through these adjacent houses, therefore they have a tumma drabbanim. And that's what the shach assumes, that the tumma of the din of soif tumma latzeis is a drabbanim de kahalacha. Because ketshuva over there, in Shinayim Beis of Khan Aleph, he quotes the Chivas Chavas Yor, that also seems to go with the opinion of the Shach, the Chavas Yor, Seif Simakuf Yodbez, he says, that Seif Tomolates is a Drabon de Galocha. Later on, the Sifkat Gimel, he brings some other Achrenim, the Chivas Chasm Sefer, that also seems to be agreeable to this part of the Shach, that Seif Tomolates is Drabonon. There's a big Shiloh in Achrenim, if the Shach is trying to make certain other Tumas Drabonon, some say the Shach is coming to make even other Tumas Drabonon, and the others come to argue that the other Tumas are certainly all the right, that only Seif Tomolates can be Drabonon. This is a big shaila in Achrenim, it's beyond the scope of our discussion, and it's probably not in the gift to us so much nowadays, the halacha. There are other Achrenim who argue very strongly on the Shach, and feel that Seif Tumma Lattes is their Isa. Firstly, there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos in Siman Shin Yud Aleph, where it's discussed the halacha of a mace, that a mace is muktzah on Shabbos, and therefore if someone is niftar on Shabbos, they cannot be removed from the place, from the house in which they're niftar, and there are certain leniencies that are given for the covered of mace, or possibly even for a covet of the chayim, the covet of those who are still alive, to allow them in certain ways to move the mace through a kikar or a tinek, or putting something on the mace that's not muksa, or tiltum and atzad, by moving it in an indirect way. And here the Magen Avraham discusses if the family does not want to remove the mace from the place where the mace is, and therefore it's preventing kahanim from coming in. So the Magen Avraham discusses if the kahanim do have the right to force the family to move the mace, or they don't have the right to force the family to move the mace. But the Magen Avraham says, the Kamokam Nerali, that which is clear to the Magen Avraham, the Miesh Kain Chayla, there's a Kain who's sick in the building, he has no way of getting out of his house. He's not well, there's no way he can get out. So then Kaif and the Krav, and we force the relatives of the mace, Behoitzia Mesi Beisa, take the mace out of the house, even on Shabbos, Kadesh Layavel et Adereisa, because otherwise, they're forcing this Kain to be over on Issa Dereisa. So that's an Issa Dereisa for the Kain to be in this house where the mace is, in the same building as the mace. And by the family not taking the mace out, they're causing this kohen to be over on Issa D'Oraisa. This kohen is not well; he cannot go out himself. Now the Magen Avraham is talking about a case certainly where you close the door to the room where the mace is, or this kohen is not in the same room as the mace. And still, since the mace is going to eventually have to go out of this building at some point, whenever they take the mace out to bury him, to make the levaya and the kura, still the Magen Avraham is of the opinion that the whole building or the entire pathway, at least that the mace is going to take, has a tumma D'Oraisa. And the Magen Avraham actually says the mashkos of Shach the Yodei Simishinai Beis. He references Arshach. He says, that which Arshach says, the Havad Rabbanan, Loidok. He says, it's inaccurate. So the Magen Avraham argues on Arshach, and the Magen Avraham is of the opinion that the Tumma of Soif Tumma Lattes, the Tumma which precedes the mace through all the hallways and the pathways the mace will eventually take, is the Tumma Deraisa. And the truth is that both the Chokhmas Adam and Aruch HaShulchan, two of the big Paiskim, Lithuanian Paiskim, from the past 200 years, both the Chokhmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan in Yerdei and Hukos HaVilas of the Yerushinai Beis, they quote the Shach, and they argue very strong on the Shach, and they feel a Soif Tumma Lattes is the Tumma Deraisa, like the opinion of the Magen Avraham. The Shas says the Rabbanon, and we said the other Achronim, such as the Chavos Yair and the Chasam Sefer, seem to be agreeable with learning Sefer Tumalotis to be the Rabbanon. Truth is that it seems that the Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion that Sefer Tumalotis is the Rabbanon. There are Halakos Nuch Nasiyas Kapayim in Arachayim Simakub Chav Ches, about the Kayin is ready to Duchen, or he's in the middle of Duchenin, and then somebody's Nifter, and there's a Misa, suddenly passes away. So the Kahanim who are in the middle of doing the Mitzvah Esei Dereis of Duchenin, do they have to run out, or do they continue doing the Duchenin? And if there's a Tumah Dereisa, then suddenly the Halakha is that they have to run out. But then the Shaila is, if you have to tell the Kohen, he's unaware of this, Mishnah Berurah says about Tumah Dereisa, you have to tell the Kohen, even if he's in the middle of Duchenin, he should know to run out of the shul, where he's Duchenin, if someone suddenly passes away in the shul, and there's a Tumah Oil Dereisa now in the shul. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if the Tumah is in the Bayit HaSamach Basic Nesses, the house of the room adjacent to the shul, the Efshel Listam HaPsachim Bachalonish Basic Nesses, it's possible to close all the windows and doors of the Basic Nesses, or of the room where the mace is. So that even if the Kohen finds out, and the Kohen is aware that there's a mace in the next room, Ein Zarach Lotis, he does not have to go out, Atch Yigmar Nesias Kapayim, until he finishes Duchening, the Nesias Kapayim Dvar Torah, Nesias Kapayim Duchening is the Raisa, the Tumah Kizu Ein Elam Drabonin. This Tumah is only Drabonin. He says if the Kohen did not start Duchening yet, it's better he should go out. But if the Kohen didn't know of Duchening, doing the Mitzvah Deraisa of Nesias Kapayim, does not have to go out for a Tumah Drabonin. And the Sharasian, he refers us to over here, the Yerdeus Mishnayim Beis. So the Mishnah Berurah, who's actually quoting a Prima Gadim in Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah seem to be pretty clearly saying, it's not 100% mefurish in their words, explicit, but it seems pretty clear that they go with the opinion of the Shach, that Sefer Tumah Lotis is the Tumah Derabbanan. So you have the Shach and the Chavos Yair and the Chasam Sefer, it seems, and the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah say that Sefer Tumah Lotis is the Tumah Derabbanan, but the Malkav Ram feels it's the Raisa, and the Chachmas Adam and Aruch HaShulchan are both very strong that Sefer Tumah Lotis is the Tumah Derabbanan. So now there are many factors for a kind of factor in before he goes into a hospital. Is there a Sefer Tumah Lotis in this hospital at any point? It might depend on how the morgue is set up. It might depend how likely it is that there's a mace in the hospital. We also have to factor in what percentage of the patients in this hospital are Jewish, because we said that Kirei Akum are Me'ikra Din Amutah, or Machmer on Kirei Akum, Kan Ra Machmer has become Tumah in Kirei Akum, or Me'ikra Din Smutah, so if there's not a certain Tumah, but Kirei Akum, Me'ikra Yimekel, but Kirei Yisrael, even on the Selfik, it's not so simple to Yimekel, depends what the likelihood is that there's Tumah there. There's a Tshuva Sarajba, Chilak Aleph, the Simon Pei Gimel, who seems to say that by the halach of Kahana not becoming something for a mace, we could apply the rule of Sovik Tumah B'Shisram Tar, that there's a Sovik Tumah in a public place, even if it's a Sovik Deraisa, then we can make all. So since the Kahana, when they're walking into a hospital lobby, they're walking into a public place, so then there'll be room for them to make on a Sovik. But we must factor in what the likelihood is that there's Tumah in this hospital, what the rate of fatalities is in this hospital, and what the percentage of Jewish patients there is, and also how important it is for the Kohen to go to the hospital. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva talks about that if a Kohen is a close relative, a parent or a child is in the hospital, or a relative from his wife's side, that certainly if his wife is sick, then there's a big tzarech, a big need for him to go in, then there's room to be made to allow him to go in and say that any tumah that is in this hospital is probably from Goyim, not necessarily from Yidden. Yidden don't leave their mason around for so long. Now we get back to our Gemara of Nefolim, of a fetal demise, a miscarriage, or something to that effect. And there's a Shaila, after which point is a baby that doesn't survive, after which point is he old enough that there's tumas mace? Some poskim are mekel, that's only after the first trimester, only if you made it to the first trimester. But many poskim are machmer, that once the pregnancy lasts into the 41st day, 41 days of the pregnancy, 8 weeks gestational age, the way it's counted by the doctors in our times. So then, if the pregnancy does not survive, and there's any blood, any source of blood, anything that makes it out, whether through miscarriage, or through DNC, or DNE, then there is tumas mace. And therefore there will be Sefer Tumah Lotis on this Nefel. And the same applies to amputations. If there's a proper limb, such as a finger or a toe, is amputated, very often there will be Tumas Mace by this area that limb is amputated. And it's important to note that although when there's a mace in the hospital, a Yiddish mace, so the Chevra Kedisha comes right away to remove the mace, because we try to bury it to the Tahara and bury it as soon as possible, by a Nefel, or by limb amputation, the halach is that we're not mechuyev to rush in the same way to bury them, and therefore the Chevra Kedisha does not come with the same speed to remove Nefolim, to remove fetal demises, Yiddish fetal demises from the hospital, as well as to remove amputated limbs from the hospital. And therefore, although it might not be so likely that there's a Yiddish mace anywhere in the hospital, or even in the morgue, because they would be removed immediately by the Chevra Kedisha, in a hospital that has a lot of Jewish births going on, where a lot of Jewish people give birth, it would be important to find out what the rate of fetal demise is, how often there are DNCs and DNEs and other such procedures that remove, unfortunately, pregnancies that don't survive, and how long they sit around the hospital. Where do they sit in the hospital? Do they still stay in the labor and delivery floor until removed? Are they in the pathology department for study? Where is the pathology department open to? Even if the morgue has a separate back door out of the hospital, or for the pathology department is open to the main hallway, do these Nephilim eventually make it to the morgue? Or do they not make it to the morgue because the Goyim are not so worried about the covet of the Nephilim as much as we are, that we're mocked to bury them? And therefore, a kohen should certainly ask a shayla before any time he goes into the hospital. This is unless it's a shayla pekuch nefesh. If it's a shayla pekuch nefesh, or if his wife is having a baby and she needs the support, so then it will be a shayla. It's also considered a shayla pekuch nefesh, and he may certainly enter the hospital. But for any other reason for a kohen to enter a hospital, a kohen should make sure to ask a shayla by a rod, by a paisik, before he enters. As we've now seen, there are many possible problems that could exist.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.